We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
What y'all want to do today? Hey! Hey, it's Friday. One more time. One more time. Hey, you know what? I didn't have a plan for this, but I know we got this.
You knocked me off of you. Beat napping. Come on, man.
Ooh!
Come on, man. Come on now. Hey, look. No, go ahead and go through the intros because I gotta set the record straight.
I'm Damian Barling.
I'm in God mode.
I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
Said that man's KC right there.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
Talk to me.
Hey, look, man. Hey, Kyle, I want you to look. Jesse, I want you to look. Chatty House, I want you to look. Don't talk about me no more. don't talk about good old KC no more. You see what's going on the other screen. Don't talk about good old KC no more.
Who was talking about you?
Thank you. That's
no,
a
no,
great
no,
question.
No. No, we done with all that. We ain't talking about KC no more. We ain't talking about KC no more. You see the patterns? You see the patterns? We ain't talking about KC no more. Come on, man. Look, no, that's Ric Flair. That's The Rock. That's $5,000 shirt type stuff right there. That ain't no short sleeve. That ain't no T-shirt. Don't talk about KC no more.
How much of your marble floor did you have to cut out for that?
That's a good point. Not a
oh,
lot.
Look at you. You're not, such a turncoat.
Not a lot.
You're
not
such,
a lot.
Oh, what is that? Look, what are you doing?
Just a quick.
Two old turncoats right there.
What do you have to get into, like, the stadiums with? Like, the clear bag is, like, 16 by 8 or something like that. It's just a
That sounds right. Right dimensions.
That's all he needed to cut out. It wasn't a lot. It wasn't a lot. It wasn't a lot. There's big money over here, man. There's big money over not over here, over there. There's big money over there, not over here.
Big baller Barling over there.
No, saying. Let me know when you two are done.
That's what I'm saying bankroll. Come on, man.
To be clear, for those listening on the radio, I do look incredible today. I want that like understood. I do. I don't need to be like, oh, thanks, Casey. No, I look phenomenal.
You look rich.
I want that understood.
You look rich. That's the thing. Like Tuesday. You look good. You look rich today.
Yeah,
that's
bro. Sorry, we can't do the regular man bit with you today.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. It ain't about looking good. I mean, you always look good. You look rich.
Okay.
Just saying what it is.
That's fine.
I'm blue collar.
Okay, pal.
I'm blue collar.
I will say. I was deciding between two outfits, and seeing the way that you dress today, I'm very pleased with the one I chose, because we would have looked like a couple of jackasses if I had gone with all black the other way, which was the plan right there. And Soren says, well, that's that 106.5 and the money right there.
That's a good point.
It's different.
That's a good point. It's different.
It's different. You start
it hits different.
Man, if Kenny was right about me being a pop DJ years ago, boy, I'd be a different place in life.
It hits different.
My goodness, man. What a Friday we have planned for you today. Kyle Madsen's going to join us coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Chris Haynes.
Yes, sir.
The hottest free agent in sports media is going to join us coming up later on this hour. We got Mark Orr. The athletic director
of Sacramento State University.
Anything going on there y'all want to talk about? I'm gonna hit him with the Cody Rhodes. So what do you want to talk about? Then we got Eddie Gonzalez joining us. We got James Hamm joining us. We got Cash Caraway
yes,
coming
sir.
Up today.
I got to get back on the good foot.
We are thrilled that you are here with us, man. Our vibes are extremely high. And we're going to have some fun today. What a football game it was last night. Man, I don't tweet often, but I was feeling really good about my boy and the way he was playing last night. They got that 4th-and-15 stop, and I thought, I'm going to tweet a Baker gift. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of time left. And right then, I think it was Al or Herb Street was like, hey.
It was Herb Street.
They got, well, you know, they still got 3 timeouts. It was like, you know what? I'm not going to post this gift just yet. And, man, I wasn't even mad. What a masterful job Kirk Cousins did in those final seconds when he threw that pass across the middle. I said out loud, standing up, there's no way. There's no way. They're not going to get there in time. They're not going to get set. That salute to that offensive line, because it's always the offensive line or the receiver on the outside that messes it up. Nobody messed it up. There was no room for error in that. They got the spike, tied the game. That defense was gassed. Absolutely gassed at that point. They kicked the field goal. They win the coin toss, and Tampa's defense stood no chance after that. A fantastic Thursday night game to start the week.
You mean it actually worked when somebody took the ball first? You know, because remember, that was just the Cardinals. You should never take the ball first.
Don't understand how overtime works. That's
the wrong thing to do at all times.
I don't know about either team's defenses, but I feel pretty good like coming out of that game about both teams. Like there's some pretty like good teams in the NFC, I think.
Defense on a Thursday is whatever. I don't think it's the like you if you made that proclamation on the first 5 weeks, like that's fine. Survive in advance is a Thursday night. And man, Kirk Cousins was just masterful last night. I heard Kirk this morning tell Cowherd. At the barbershop. I wasn't sitting at home.
I was about to say, big FS1 guy, big Cowherd guy.
I was. It was on the TV. I actually enjoyed the conversation, even though Cowherd's questions are way too freaking long.
Sacramento legend Colin Cowherd.
I guess. Jesus Christ, man. Shorten the question so I can hear Kirk. But his last question was, like, I'll shorten it. Otherwise, I'd run out of time. Essentially, it was, how do you feel? He was like, you know, I feel good. When I said in week one, that I wasn't there yet. It wasn't my Achilles. My Achilles is fine. Mm-hmm. I hadn't played football since week 8 of last year. Mm-hmm. All through camp, all through these practices, I'm in a red jersey. Like, that's not week 1 football. That's not week 2 football. It's an entirely different thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to him like, man, he got to be feeling good now. You know, last night was only the 25th 500-yard game.
Wow.
The 25th.
That's almost like a perfect game.
Matt Ryan had one of them on his night.
Man, poor guy.
And Kirk took his record.
Poor guy gets up stage, almost like Jerry and Tio.
On his night, took his record, man. I thought, I'm with Jesse. I like both of these teams. I've come around on Atlanta, I think, pretty quickly. Back-to-back wins for the Falcons over the Saints and the Bucks. I loved that game last night. I thought my boy had it. I thought he was really good. Three touchdowns for Baker, really, really efficient. Not a huge yardage, certainly not what Kirk did last night, mm-hmm. but I love that game last night.
Those two teams, those are two really good teams. Really good teams, and I think they're a step above New Orleans in that division. You know what I mean? New Orleans lately is looking like the odd man out in that division. But, yeah, that was a great Thursday night game. Great, great Thursday night game. Great finish, you know, the walk-off. Then you talk about getting set and making sure nobody moves and everything. Mm-hmm. That's a sign of a well-coached team.
Yep.
Discipline team.
Absolutely.
You know, they've gone over those situations a number of different times.
I love Raheem Morris' energy last night.
That was a sign of a well-coached team.
Well, that man was so excited. He ran on the field. Everybody was celebrating. They forgot about the play clock. And picked up a penalty. They picked up a 5-yard penalty before the field goal attempt. And I was a little bit, I think I know what Raheem Morris was saying. He was saying the referee, the ball wasn't set.
Yeah.
The referee was there. But the ball was set. The referee was standing there. You wait for the lines to get set. Then you move, or not completely set, but you wait for them to line up and then get out of the way. They didn't. Mm-hmm. They were kind of standing there. And then the clock expires and they pick up a 5-yard penalty.
It's tough. But it all worked out.
But overall, the coaching was really good.
It all worked out. Hey, can I say something real quick? Because we got Kyle coming. We got a bunch of guests, all this other stuff. There may be no other time to say this today. And a great, fantastic Thursday night football game last night. The Major League Baseball playoffs.
Fire. Fire.
They have started.
Man.
Oh, my goodness.
Pete Alonso, come on, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, give me that.
That was fantastic last night, and that is why I can make the argument, anybody can make the argument, pound for pound, Major League Baseball playoffs, I'm not going to say they're the best. I'm not going to put – they're just amazing.
It's fun.
They are
it's
just fun. Amazing. Did you see – I'm a nerd like this, but I spent maybe 15 to 20 minutes watching footage of people at Citi Field. They had a watch party at Citi Field. Oh, my gosh. They were going.
If your day sounds like.
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Going crazy in Citi Field. The pop when the ball goes over the fence. Yeah, it was
crazy.
The playoffs have started.
Playoffs are here. I love that he knew.
Yeah.
Like he's like, oh, that's it. I got it.
Yeah, that was a great moment. The Mets fans, like I said, watching the Citi Field stuff, it was epic stuff. Baseball playoff reactions, crowd reactions might be the best. It's basketball and baseball for 1 and 2 on that one.
There was some extra heat on that one.
Yeah, some extra heat on that one. That was great. Like I said, I don't know if there's another spot for that today, but had to mention that because that was an all-time.
Yeah, and you might be right, man, because today's show is loaded. Kyle Mattson coming up next. Chris Haynes right after that. Mark Orr, Eddie Gonzalez, James Hamm, all with us. We're happy you are. It's D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Hey, let's hit some air horns because Young Zell and Mrs. Young Zell. Welcome in a newborn. Hey, we got a new member.
Let's go.
Yeah. That's
big time. That's
newest
so big time.
Member of the Chatty House. Man, salute to our man Young Zell and his wonderful, wonderful, wonderful bride. That's awesome, man.
That really is, man. You love to see it.
That's beautiful.
Love to see it.
Absolutely beautiful. As we welcome in Kyle Mattson.
6 hours is probably too much screen time for a newborn, but I get it.
That's okay.
It depends on what you're talking about. Miss Rachel might be on the TV for six, seven straight hours. Put her on there. Miss Rachel, Gracie's Corner, and Trolls. Just be one of them days sometimes.
Totally.
Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Damian.
49ers, Cardinals at Levi Stadium this weekend. Let's bring Kenny into the conversation we were having on the handoff.
I have something I've got to talk to Kenny about before this segment's over. Anyways, keep going.
Do it right now.
No, because we'll get sidetracked. So start with the Niners stuff, and then we'll do the other stuff.
All right, well, it's okay. My bad.
hey, let me tell you how to do your show.
Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
You and many others think Brandon Ayuk has a breakout game this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's
happening. Just on vibes?
It's been four weeks.
Okay.
It's not like he's bad now. He dropped two passes in the first three games, and everybody decided that he can't catch anymore. No, he's still a really good player, and I think the conversation about him has jumped the shark entirely. Like, we're just deciding that Brandon Ayuk sucks now because of four games that we all knew were going to be slow games because he missed all of training camp. Like, that was the problem. Is the missing camp was, man, he's going to get off to a slow start. Let's look at Nick Bosa last year. We all knew this was coming. And now all of a sudden we're trying to trade him and eat $70 million in dead cap and undo the work that they spent all offseason bending over backwards to get done. Like, this is it's ludicrous. I get people are frustrated, and I totally understand why. But, like, he's not bad at football now. He was an all-pro last year who's getting off to a little bit of a slow start. It's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, I agree. I still think he's a great player, whatever the case may be. And when people say trade him, mind you, I bought this up the other day when we were doing the handoff.
Yeah.
I wouldn't actually do the trade, even if it was feasible.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd actually do the trade because I don't think wide receiver offense is a problem.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
That's it.
That's one of the reasons for me. And Brandon Ayuk is still a great player.
He's 26 years old, coming off an all-pro season, and they just signed into a four-year contract.
He's still a great player. And the only reason you even bring up something like that is because of how great Devontae Adams is, not because Brandon Ayuk is less than. With all that being said, though, he's got to produce.
No doubt.
He got to produce. He did a lot of talking either on podcasts, through agents, through media outlets about – you know, how he felt he was one of those elite guys.
And those elite guys, they show up regardless of, like, for whatever reason, like the targets or beating double teams or whatever happens, Justin Jefferson is always producing.
No doubt.
Whatever happens, CeeDee Lamb is producing. And that's the level he said he was on, and that's what's expected of him. I thought he was going to have a breakout game against the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really happen. Thought it was going to happen last week against New England. Didn't really happen. I'll go into this week thinking it'll happen again. Like, it's going to happen at some point where he finds a groove.
Yeah.
And I just expect it to be something where it's going to be gradual that we see over time. It's going to be like, oh, today he had 7 catches for 98 yards. No touchdowns, though. next week he had 6 catches for 85 yards. Okay. Mm-hmm. Damn, now 3 games in a row he didn't put together solid catch. Like, it's not going to be a Drake London game or something like that, I don't think. It'll just be solid, steady production, and I think he'll be okay.
He's on pace for something like 700 yards right now. Do you think if I said the over-under is 999.5, are you taking over-under?
I'll go under. I don't think he's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver this year, but I think he'll be good. It'll be a good season.
Okay.
Will the 49ers have a 1,000-yard receiver?
Man, if they don't, they have a problem. Brock's on pace for like 4,800 passing yards. You're not going to have a 1,000-yard receiver? That's an issue to me.
But you might have 4 900-yard receivers.
Like I was going to say, if he hits that marker and they don't have a 1,000-yard receiver, is it a problem?
Yeah, probably.
Even like, let me ask you a question. If you have no 1,000-yard receivers but 4 900-yard receivers, is that a problem?
So you have 4 900. No, probably not. I was overthinking it. No, not if you got 4 guys getting 900.
Now that's, I don't think though.
Brandon Ayuk's on pace for 710 yards. If he does what, just to bring this back to him real quick, if he does what you're talking about, where he starts having to, oh hey, there's 76 yards this week. Oh, and there's 98. Oh man, he had back to back 100-yard games in weeks 10 and 11. Like he's getting to 1,000.
Fair.
If he does what you're talking about.
Fair, very true.
Anyways,
very true.
Do you know what Juwan's on pace to? Or did you just do the math?
More than that.
Yeah, he's probably almost like 1,200, I think.
Well, no, I figured, but like, so I guess maybe the other side of this conversation is, do you think Juwan Jennings keeps at this pace? And maybe.
No, I don't. Okay. There's at some point, now, if Debo keeps missing a game or two, and if the Brandon Ayuk slow start bleeds into week 6, 7, 8, like up to the bye week, then like maybe. But at some point, you figure this offense is going to lock in and Juwan Jennings is going to go back to maybe more utilized than he was last year. He had 19 catches last year. He's already at, what's he at this year? 21. He's 2 more catches this year than he had all last season. So I think he'll continue to be involved, but he's on pace right now. 1,547 yards, 13 touchdowns. Yeah, I don't think he's going to do that.
Wow.
I'm comfortable saying that.
Let me ask both of you guys a question. Do you think that we have underrated Juwan Jennings? Like, this isn't just, he's hot right now or whatever. He's actually getting an opportunity, and he's good enough to take advantage of it. And the reason why I asked that, because maybe I underrated him. I just looked at him as a third down type receiver, possession type guy. But he kind of seems like one of those guys that, you know, he's a big body guy. Mm-hmm. He's not super fast. But he knows how to get open.
Mm-hmm.
He knows he's tough. You know, he'll catch anything. Mm-hmm. And he's a big target for Brock. And, yeah, he just gets it done. You know, he kind of reminds me of a little bit, workshopping this comparison a little bit.
Okay.
But a little like Musa Muhammad.
Oh.
Wasn't like this super burner, but he was just
underrated,
a good receiver.
Player, underrated player,
for
sure.
He knew how to be a big-time NFL receiver. And I wonder if maybe that's Juwan Jennings.
Let me amend what I just responded to Damian. I think if he continues getting opportunities like this, then I think that, not that he's going to go for 1,500 yards, but I think he's a good player. Mm-hmm. Like I could think he could definitely be, you know, 1,000-yard receiver type of guy if he's going to go get 80 plus targets.
Yeah.
But I also don't think that's necessarily good. Like he had 12 targets in that game against the Rams. He's probably not reaching that mark again. He had 6 targets last week, led the team. So that could definitely happen a couple more times where he goes 3 catches, 88 yards. But I think you probably see him fall more into that oh man, Juwan had 2 for 50 this game. And
but why?
Like because they're going to have a lot of mouths to feed. And at some point.
But if Brock and Juwan are legitimately getting comfortable with each other, why would Brock go away from that? Or maybe they're not. Maybe that's not really a thing. But
no, I think it is. He's very comfortable letting his guys go make plays. And Juwan Jennings, I wrote about this when they drafted him. He turns every catch into a boxing match. Like every catch is like, man, because he doesn't separate. He can, but there's a lot of times where there's really sticky coverage. Mm-hmm. And he's just winning a jump ball and then fighting off a defender and running after the catch and breaking a tackle. It's just crazy. So that physicality he can thrive in, and Brock is going to throw it up to him. But the reason I say that, Damian, is because if let's say Christian McCaffrey comes back. I'm not banking on that, but let's just say it happens. Mm-hmm. Kyle Shanahan already said they're not going to run more 3-receiver stuff. So it's going to be Brandon Ayuk, it's going to be Deebo Samuel, and it's going to be Christian McCaffrey and Kyle Juszczyk with George Kittle. Mm-hmm. Like that's going to kind of be the five in big spots. Now, I do think you see Jennings maybe rotating in a little more than he used to. But I don't think necessarily if those guys are all healthy that Juwan is going to be a guy that like, man, we got to get him on the field. I think they're probably going to keep him in a third receiver role.
Hmm. You know, go ahead.
No, you're good.
You know who I want to see kind of go to work a little bit more is George Kittle. Hmm. I want to see him as a receiver go to work a little bit more. And I haven't looked at what the targets are or whatever the case may be, but I want to get back to him being a part of this offense, you know, in the passing game. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a great blocker and all this other stuff, but utilize him as a passer. And I want to ask you about how this works sometimes. Mm-hmm. I know it's real life. I know it's not Madden, but I'm going to use a Madden analogy, right?
Perfect.
When I call a play on Madden, I call a play and I say, this is George Kittle's play. I want George Kittle to get the ball. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to run this play, this route, and if I get the coverage I want, he's getting the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I may not get the coverage that I want. They may have somebody there bracket him, and maybe it's like a drag, and if it's man-to-man, he's going to be open. If it's zone, it's tough. I got to go to option two or whatever the case may be. But why – first two-part question. Do you think that happens when Kyle Shanahan calls plays? And if it doesn't, why not? Why not like – all right, this is Brandon Ayuk's play. I need to get him the rock. Let me run this drag for Brandon Ayuk. Do you think that's how plays are called, and should they be even?
No, because I don't think Kyle Shanahan views offense that way. He views it through the defensive lens. Like, what are their defensive rules? I'm going to run this play to break their defensive rules. Mm-hmm. And if a defender moves to the wrong spot, the Brandon Ayuk play, the one that Brock didn't throw against the Rams, that wasn't supposed to be Brandon Ayuk's route, right? Mm-hmm. The defense broke down and Ayuk ran to the empty space. Mm-hmm. Like that's going to happen sometimes.
Right.
That isn't like, hey, if they break down this coverage, throw it to him. Like that's just kind of built in. Mm-hmm. So no, I don't think Kyle Shanahan looks at it and goes, okay, we need to get it to George Kittle on this play. I don't think Brock drops back going, okay, I'm going to throw it to Deebo on this play. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's necessarily
that. That line of thinking is exclusive to Kyle Shanahan, or just NFL play callers in general don't do that?
I think if every NFL play caller had this amount of weapons, they wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of teams where it's like George Kittle would be their best player. Mm-hmm. And so they're going, hey, and the quarterback's dropping back going, hey, big spot, I'm throwing it to this guy. Because mm-hmm. I don't want to throw it to...
We know one quarterback who does. Patrick Mahomes does that all the time with Kelce.
Yeah.
Third and whatever. Hey, Kelce, one whatever route you want, I'm getting the ball to you.
Yeah.
And nobody can stop it.
Yeah. George Kittle, by the way, on pace for 96 targets this year, over a 17-game season. Mm-hmm. He missed a game, obviously. That'd be his most target since 2019.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. What's missing is the big, explosive run-after-catch plays. Mm. The teams are just defending the Niners differently this year, yeah. And the run-after-catch just hasn't been there.
It's missing from the whole offense.
Kittle's longest catch of the year is 26 yards.
Hmm. Well, okay, but he didn't practice.
Correct, the last 2 days.
Yeah, so walk me through this. Like, what do we know about that? Because he was obviously, he missed a game,
mm-hmm.
comes back and plays, mm-hmm. and is out again. Is it ill-advised that he played last week? Like,
no, different injury. He hurt his.
Oh, good. He got hurt a different way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's certainly
it's
good. Positive.
It's actually a silver lining.
No,
different
that's
injury.
True. There you go. That's fine.
So, no, it's a hamstring in week three. Yeah, hamstring in week three. Played last week and hurt his ribs. Now, I was talking to, I don't want to put people on blast, but talking to people who were at the facility and talking to players and stuff, they're under the impression that Warner and Kittle are probably going to play, and that the non-practices are, hey, we got a game Sunday and then another one Thursday.
Okay.
These are two of our stars.
Yeah.
We don't need them running around in practice, so we'll get them out through Friday's walkthrough. Mm-hmm. Now, if they don't do walkthrough today, then I'll be deeply concerned.
Sure.
My guess is they'll both be questionable, and it sounds like they're both trending toward playing, but I don't know that for sure. That's just speculation.
Gotcha. Yeah, because they were on a side field, I think, yesterday going through workouts or something.
Yeah, so they were in pads and stuff for the like opening part of the warm-up, and then Fred Warner went to the weight room, and I don't know where George Kittle went. So...
Gone.
I don't.
Has anyone seen him since, or did he just
evaporated? No, they both. So they didn't. They weren't in the portion of practice open to media, and then they were listed as non-participants. So they went and did rehab or worked out or whatever.
How do you feel about this game?
I think it's going to be their highest scoring game of the year. I think Brandon Ayuk's going to break out. I think their defensive line is going to get exposed.
Niners.
Yeah. Mm. They cooked against the Patriots, but the Patriots stink. The Patriots' offense is so bad. Specifically, their offensive line is so, so bad. Kevin Givens is not going to have 2.5 sacks again this week. Malik Collins is not going to be as impactful as he was. He's a good player, but I think their defensive line is going to get exposed a bit. But Kyler Murray is not good against the blitz this year. We've seen the Niners uptick their blitz rate.
Did they uptick it? The blitz rate last week, because that's what I asked a little bit more of personally, and I know they listened to me.
Yes,
I said,
dialed into the program.
So you gotta, you're not getting home with the four.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta bring a little bit more blitz and bring those corners up and a little bit more press coverage to get that work. Did you see that at all?
Yeah. So they blitzed 13 times the first 3 weeks. They blitzed 11 times last week.
Oh wow. Okay.
So they're ramping that up for sure, and they have to. It would be insanity to not. Mm-hmm. Because it's really clear, especially without Javon Hargrave, they're not getting home with four. So Nick Bosa is going to have his reps where he dominates and gets there, and Malik Collins will win a rep here, and hopefully Leonard Floyd does something soon. But to consistently get pressure, I think you're going to see him blitz a lot more.
Leonard Floyd was in on that pick six. He got the pressure.
Yeah, he was a little better last week. But
is there a better defensive player in the game right now than Fred Warner?
Man.
I feel like it's.
I can answer for you. I think it's no.
I don't think there is.
The only person that. The first person that comes to my mind, the only person that I'll hear an argument for is TJ Watt.
I think TJ Watt might end the season better than Fred Warner. Right now, I don't think there's anyone playing better on that side of the ball than Fred Warner.
So, like Aiden Hutchinson, right? Having an awesome start to the year.
Yeah, awesome start to the year.
He's been incredible. Yeah. Go Blue. And
what?
No, you heard him.
What?
You heard him. Clip that.
That's my new sarcastic thing, because Michigan fans make it their entire identity. And anytime you say a Michigan person, no, I have noticed that that only happens when baby. The only time that happens is when it's a good player. I've never heard a person be like, Ambry Thomas. Ambry Thomas, a healthy scratch today. Go Blue.
I think I did that for Bell the other day. I showed love.
That's a bad drop.
When
Ronnie
he dropped,
Bell, healthy scratch.
When he
go
dropped
blue.
The ball and Jake Moody missed, I think I hit a go blue for both of them. It's still love, but that was awful. That was awful.
That's a tough goal. But Aiden Hutchinson is really good. But the way Fred Warner impacts games with the forced fumble at the goal line against the Vikings and the interception in the red zone against the Vikings and the pick six to get the scoring kick started against the Patriots after two field goals on trips inside the 10. Like, it's just the impact he's having right now is I don't think there's a more impactful defensive player than him right now as of week four.
Do you think he can win the defensive player of the year?
I think he can. He has to continue doing what he's doing right now, where it's forced fumbles, it's pick sixes, it's a sack here and there, and then he has to do it in like prime time. Like, if he has a great year and then goes into that, I think it's Monday night against the Lions in week 17, and has a pick six in that game that seals it or whatever, that's the kind of, like, it's about moments, right? It's about, it's the story. It's the narrative of the year for that player. And if the Niners wind up winning the division, and like I said, Fred Warner has this game-sealing pick six in a huge nationally televised game late in the year, then the narrative kind of swings his way.
I wax poetically about Fred Warner after week one, and I want you to tell me if I went too far. You know my boy 52. I mean, come on, man. That's Hall of Famer. I said, I don't know. I think Fred right there.
Shasky said this to me like 2 years ago, and I was like, you're insane. Like, that's crazy. Well, Shasky's still insane.
But
that take specifically. Insane. Yeah, no, love Bonte and Joe. It's tough because I have the utmost respect for Navarro Bowman, for Patrick Willis. Those are the two guys that I saw a lot of. Like, you know, Julian Peterson was great when he was with the Niners too, but not quite at that level. I don't say it lightly when I say I agree with you. I don't know that anybody has played the position at this high of a level in the time that I've like really watched and paid attention to the 49ers. And I say that fully knowing that Patrick Willis is one of the best to ever do it. Fred Warner is right there, man. He is really, really damn good.
The thing that gets me with Fred that may put him over the top, and as you see, I haven't been able to form my words to actually say that because of the respect I have.
Dude, exactly. It's like impossible.
Yeah, I can't say it.
He set such a high standard. Yeah, it's like, you don't get to surpass that standard 10 years after he retires. Like, that's crazy.
Right. I can't even form the words yet. But the thing that would set him apart is him going in coverage. The play, I've said it a number of different times, that just lives in my head is divisional playoff game. CeeDee Lamb goes streaking down the middle of the field, and step for step is defending him as Fred Warner. I'm like, yo, who doing that?
Yeah.
Who's doing that
at
that position? We've seen a lot of great linebackers, and they're great. Maybe they do other things better than Fred Warner, but who's doing that? Who's covering the run the way he is? Who's meeting Najee Harris in the backfield the way he is? And then a play later, going 30 yards down the field with CeeDee Lamb.
It's
crazy.
I don't want to say he does. He gets credit. Like, he is. I think if you went and took a straw poll of who's the best linebacker in the sport right now, I don't know that many people are not saying Fred Warner. Like, and so I don't want to say he's underrated, but there's his impact on the Niners defense really since 2019. It's been all about the defensive line, right? And it's like, man, Nick Bosa and DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead and Dee Ford and all these guys they've rolled through there. To create this awesome pass rush. Yeah, for sure. But controlling the middle of the field the way they have has been in large part because of number 54.
I agree.
And I think his impact on their successes can't be understated.
Yep.
You had something for Casey?
Relax on the practice videos.
What practice video?
I don't. The Kings practice video that came out yesterday, day three of training camp. Like, oh, I like that set.
That action was really nice.
Like, come on.
That
relax.
Action was really nice.
Relax, dog.
It was really nice.
It's a tradition unlike any other. Ask him what happened a few years ago when Tristan was here.
That was a shining moment. Shout out CBS, March Madness.
What happened?
TT got everybody all hyped up.
Tristan Thompson.
We thought it signaled a change.
Be careful when we say we.
Well, the Chatty House was in there too. I don't know if you were, but the Chatty House was in there. Everybody was high. I wasn't the only one. I wasn't the only one in Kings fandom that was hyped up.
You're the only one with a radio show, buddy.
And this is not exclusive to Kenny. It's not exclusive to Kings fans. It's not even exclusive to basketball fans. We do this every year in the NFL. We do it in the NBA. It is. Whoa, did you see Baker Mayfield to Odell Beckham? Oh, watch out for the Browns. And then 2 years later, Odell's out of there because his dad hates Baker Mayfield. Like, I mean, come on, man.
That was some nice action. I don't even think, but the thing that really got me hyped up about that Is that wasn't? I don't think that was a play. That was just them playing.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, on like getting out of the break.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Give me more. Not,
I will say,
iron sharpen iron with Davion and De'Aaron. So awful. So bad. So many different levels of bad.
No, no. The training camp overreaction in any sport, spring training too, overreaction in every sport just
he
killed
good
me.
Good in his two and a third innings.
Every single, what was it? Fujinama for the A's a couple years ago, just lights out in camp. He was so lights out in spring training that I was off the day he made his debut at the Coliseum.
Mm.
And I went, you know what? I'm going to the calls. I'm going by myself. I'm going to go watch Shintaro Fujinama pitch. This is going to be awesome. He was electric. Gave up like 11 runs in two innings.
Oh. Wow.
Horrible. It was so bad.
Like you said, every year. Every year.
It gets, I warn against it. And then sure enough, there will be some guy who has a good camp for the Niners. I'm like, hey, what was a nice little camp.
What was my man, the receiver? They called him Alabama. What was his name?
DeAndre Smelter?
Was it Smelter? It was like...
No.
White. I think it was White.
DeAndre White.
Yeah.
I think it was
Alabama. He was lighting it up in training camp.
Dude, Ronnie Bell. You should have seen Ronnie Bell. The day I went to camp, Ronnie Bell just killing it. Contested catch. Tough catch over the middle where he's getting hit. Another one where it broke in play and he breaks off his route and he comes back to the ball in the middle of the field. I'm like... Hey, Ronnie Bell, the light switch might have come on. Nope, it did not.
Well, look.
It did not come on for Ronnie Bell.
Shout out to my guys. They have a lot of fun with this. That's why we could say it. But the famous Bonte and Butcher video after they first saw Trey Lance. they were going.
Fred Warner took his helmet off and was shaking his head. I've never seen a player like him.
The Butcher Boy impression might be the best one on the show. Oh, that's incredible.
Damien, I'm telling you. I've never seen anything like it.
Easily my new favorite impression. That's the one right there. Kyle Madsen, the insiders, NinersWire.com for all of your 49ers information. Of course, Candlestick Chronicles as well. Chris Haynes, hottest free agent in the game, joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, Chris Haynes. Yeah, we missed that. That's tough. Look, that's my fault. That's my fault. I'm trying to, like, I guess everybody had a morning this morning, so I'm trying to get food ordered for, like, everyone in the building. Hopefully I didn't forget anybody. I got Kim, got Complex, got everybody in here, so hopefully that went well. It's probably not the sharpest thing to do is try to order food for everyone while you're doing a radio show, but, you know, I try to help our people.
And out. That's why you're best in the game. That's why you're the best in the game.
It's debatable.
I mean?
It's debatable. Chris Haynes, hopefully, set to join us here.
Yeah.
Coming up in just a little bit, or coming up here very, very soon, as a matter of fact. Also, Mark Orr is going to be with us, the Sac State AD. Literally cannot wait to talk to my man.
Man, moves are being made.
He might not answer everything, but we're going to talk to our guy. That's for sure. Cannot wait for Mark Orr to join us here in just a little bit. Had a great start to week five of the NFL season.
Week five already. That's crazy.
It goes by so fast, bro.
Week five.
It goes by so fast.
Yeah. Hell, it's October already.
Is it? 97 degrees outside.
When you don't look at the weather, it's October.
I guess it is. Oh, no, this man is in his car. We got this. Oh, no. Oh, man, what is going on, Chris?
Hey, man, it's still the off season for me. It's still the off season for me.
My man Chris Haynes joining us courtesy of Charlene's Beauty Supply in Elk Grove, 8694 Elk Grove Boulevard.
Defensive stopper. You know what I mean? I saw him locking up PG over the summer. You know what I mean? Now in Fresno. I saw him locking him up. Made him go left.
Hey, man, hold on. What's all this extra swag y'all got on the day?
You see him, Chris. I'm just trying to keep up.
It's a money day here around the office, Chris. So we gotta present. We're not all of us are the hottest free agents in the game. So we gotta be on point here today.
We're not all Brock Purdy, you know, where we're just making a little bit, but we know the $60 million dollar deal is coming. That's Chris Haynes. He know the $60 million deal coming. You know what I mean?
Man, come on, man. Hey, y'all speaking it into existence, man.
Hey, NBC calling, Amazon calling, ESPN calling. If I could offer some advice, just stay away from the last one because they'll have you work from 6 a.m. to midnight. And they'll just call it one day. They'll be like, oh, Chris got one day here. Like, man, he was working for 17 hours. That's all right.
That's what I'm about to tell Chris. Hey, get your family vacations in right now. Get all that in right now because it's about to get busy.
Chris reaction kind of, maybe we should lay off ESPN a little bit. That's all right. That's all right. We got the letters too. We good. We family. Hey.
Like, glad to be on with you guys.
Hey, let's start with, the league is here. There's a lot to talk about with that. But you was on the Sac State story the other day. Sac State and Golden One, man. Chris, you know, you're worldwide with the NBA. Man, Sacramento was buzzing sports-wise right now.
No, that was that's a cool gesture, you know. So when it came across my wire, I was like, yeah, I'm going to report this. This is pretty cool. And, you know, I'm going to tell a little funny joke that I got with my brother Mark Spears here in a minute. But, no, I mean, we've known for quite a while the ambition of Sac State and the willingness to want to move to a FBCS conference. And the Pac-12 is the conference that they're eyeing. And they're trying to do everything that they can, from the facilities to, you know, generating funds to try to show these conferences that they're a legitimate player and should be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. And so you look at what the Sac-12 committee has done already. You see with the football stadium that's in the works, you know, with the NIL funding that they were able to, you know, able to produce in a short amount of time. We're talking about 30-something plus million already for that. And then with the Kings stepping in and offering the Golden One Center, and I want to make this clear. From what I was told, they're offering the Golden One Center for men and women's basketball only, and it would be for availability only. So if the arena is available, that arena will be available for Sac State men's and women's basketball, not volleyball or any other indoor sport. And so they're hoping that this will convince the Pac-12 in particular, but, you know, all those top conferences that Sac State is a legitimate player. Now, as far as Mark Spears is concerned, he's a San Jose State alum. I'm a Fresno State alum. Uh-huh. So we always have this rivalry. So right before I tweeted the news of what Sac State was doing, I sent him a text saying, hey, yeah, San Jose State may want to step their game up. Because Fresno State, we've already made that jump, Pac-12, baby. We left San Jose State right where they're at. And so I told him, like, you want to be a legitimate player, you better look at what Sac State is doing. So that's the little thing we got going on with Spears. But Sac State, they're pulling out all the stops. They're trying to alert these conferences that they're a school that should be taken seriously.
Yeah, and you bring up Fresno State going to the Pac-12, and I think about, because the first thing was, all right, I know, you know, it's great to be in the Golden One Center, but I don't know if they're going to get 18,000 every night, and maybe that may be unappealing to some. But I thought about Fresno State and the Save Mart Center, very nice arena, and it's almost – a little bit like an NBA arena, you know, more so maybe like a Thomas and Mack type vibe, but very nice. Mm-hmm. And you could tell me it probably fits about 14,000-15,000. And they don't always have like a sellout, but it's still good to have, and you have that opportunity.
You're being generous.
See, I was trying to show respect to my people in the 5-5.
Hardly ever do we have a sellout. You're being generous. Hardly ever. You know, they built that arena, the Save Mart Center. It was like at the height. They started building at the height of the Jerry Tarkanian era. Mm. And so the plan was to, you know, that's when Tark was bringing all those McDonald's All-Americans to Fresno. And it had buzz. Like, they were playing at the Selling Arena. That was downtown. That venue held probably like 10,000, if that. Mm. And so that was the plan. And, you know, then the Tark stuff happened where, you know mm-hmm. you know Tark's mm-hmm. history, mm-hmm. and it just never had that buzz. It's never, like, hardly ever is that arena ever sold out. If it's sold out, it's for a concert, yeah. not for a basketball
boxing
game.
They show up so with Jose Ramirez
with that. Yeah, so with that being said, you know, you're talking about Sac State not being able to fill the arena. You know, a lot of times too, when it comes to these conferences, that players, high caliber players and fans will come when they get to an elevated conference. Mm. So when you get to an elevated conference and you play in these other elite schools, then that's how you can, the recruiting efforts are much more easier to attract high level talent. You know, once they know, okay, this is who we're playing. Oh, okay. And this yeah. is where we're playing at. So all, you know, a conference shift or a arena shift, a venue shift, that helps a lot when it comes to drawing attraction, whether it's from recruits or, you know, to try to generate more of a fan base. And so I think those things will help.
I think they could get Sacks, they go to the Pac-12, even the Mountain West. I think they could get like the lower bowl filled up at Golden One Center. I think they could do that.
Oh, I think so too.
The lower bowl. You gotta start somewhere. All right, so hold on. So do you guys remember, were you guys in town when the Monarchs were in town?
Absolutely.
Okay, so do you think if this comes to fruition, if they can get into the Pac-12, mm-hmm. and then they're playing their home games at Golden One, do you think they can have a bigger draw than what the Monarchs used to have?
What the Monarchs used to have? Sure, I think it could be equal to. Mm. Yeah, the Monarchs had good. The Monarchs had really good attendance. Mm-hmm. Like that lower bowl, it wasn't sold out on a, you know, a game to game basis, right. but it was regularly full. They had lower yeah. bowl sellouts. They had, you know, for certain games, they had Arco Arena sellouts. Mm-hmm. I think Sac State could do that.
Yeah, and that's pretty good. And also, there's probably more of a chance, you know, depending on the schedule, that, you know, you have some NBA players coming dropping in. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of NBA players dropping in at a Sac State game where they're at now.
Right. It's hard to hide at Sac State.
Exactly. So you got much more opportunity for things like that to happen. It could be much more of an engagement. Because, you know, you go to other – you'll see LeBron. I understand it's his son, but you'll see LeBron dropping into a high caliber college, USC, UCLA game. You see that in other regions as well. So, you know, maybe this can start a trend.